White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
And we're still here at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations, and we got quite a few of them came in yesterday. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Enough to where I can go down and get some money orders to send to a few of our good buddy POWs. Yeah, that's right. We like to do that once a month to the boys, send them $25. And that's for only certain well-respected people.
Sphinx Radio.
Well, thank you, Bill. Glad to be here.
Now, your organization, you consider yourself a white activist organization, is that correct?
Yes, and a white separatist association, actually. We're not a membership organization.
So it's purely people who are interested in your ideas could just look at your webpage and see what you're talking about. And could you give us your webpage for your listeners?
Yes, it's resist.com, and our email address is warmetzger@AOL.com. That's warmetzger@AOL.com. And we have a wide group of associates. They sometimes disagree on a lot of things, but the overriding thing they agree on is the best interest of the white race.
Right, and I've been through your webpage many times, and I certainly don't personally endorse the materials therein, but I do encourage people to take a look at them and just see what one segment of society, which is much larger than people realize, believes about the way this country should be run. I mean, I know there are no hard and fast numbers as to any of these sorts of associations, but you have a lot more sympathizers out there than people realize. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I've run for public office about four times. The last two was for the United States Congress on the Democratic ticket. I received about 65,000 votes, and when I ran for the United States Senate in a field of nine, I received about 100,000 votes, and so they're out there.
Right, you just don't hear about them very much. Have you gotten much trouble from various groups about your site? Because I was, for example, taking a look at your cartoon section, which it's so offensive that I don't find it offensive at all. I don't know if you've heard that before, but they're so out there that they don't bother me in particularly. But do you get a lot of flack about it?
Oh, yeah. These A. Wyatt Man, I'm not a cartoonist. I
right.
draw the cartoons. A. Wyatt Man has had a complete freedom to create whatever cartoons he wants over the years. He's been doing it for 25 years. And, of course, that's what the largest percentage of people go to when they go to the website is to look at the cartoons. And, of course, they're exaggerated somewhat in some cases. However, there's enough truth in those cartoons that sometimes make people think.
Which is not an easy thing to do these days.
That's difficult. So, like anything else, we encourage people to read the written material that we have up there and our positions and where we stand to get a clearer idea than simply the cartoons. But those cartoons are all over the world, worldwide, and we've farmed them out. A lot of people, a lot of other groups use them. So I have a good sense of humor, a good joke about white people. I laugh just as hard as a joke about
non-white. But have the federal authorities ever asked you to remove them or suggested that you remove them? Or
no, I've never had any interference from any authorities or really even the servers. Which say, well, we're going to have free speech, we're going to have free speech. So really, I've never had any trouble that I can recall.
Well, if people say free speech is restricted on the internet, I'm certainly sending them to your site. Because you really go to places nowhere else quite goes.
Now, we like to push the envelope as far as we can without going across the line and disobeying the law.
There's some interesting video games you put up there. I was playing with a couple of them, not ones I buy for my nieces and nephew, but people might find those of entertainment value on some level.
Yes, these are contributed to us by other people and other organizations, and our webmaster, who's a lot younger than I am, has a big kick out of those. I think I've played one of them since we put them up there. I'm not much of a gamer myself.
You're more of the pinball pool generation.
Yeah, that's right. That's Pong. Yeah, I'm a Pong guy.
the Pong generation. Now, there is a fellow in Illinois named Matt Hill who just got into a lot of problems, and I understand that your ideas and his ideas aren't exactly the same, but there are some similarities. Could you tell us a bit about your relationship with Matt Hill and what happened to him?
Well, the WCOTC, the Church of the Creator, was created by Ben Klassen about 25, 30 years ago, and I came in contact with him when he published his first book, Nature's Eternal Religion. In fact, I helped him distribute it. And I buy into a lot of the COTC, much more than some of the right-wing groups that are Christian, because I'm not Christian, and I feel that's a personal thing. But so I've been in touch with the COTC for years, and when Matt Hale took over, I had I've had a couple of conversations with him. I met him once, and I was sad to see that he got sucked into this trademark situation, which led to all his problems. And I simply told him that since they have got tremendous funds to fight you, and they got the courts usually going to go against you, it's ridiculous to try and fight it, so just change the name and go on. Well, unfortunately, a lot of times young people are very, you know, strong-willed and strong-headed, and he wanted to bump heads with them, and one thing led to another, and it ended up being a disaster. But I will promote the philosophies of Nature's Eternal Religion, or the COTC, as long as I'm around, because I like it.
Oh, very good. Now, Matt Hill, he's how old now? 32 years old, I believe?
I believe that's right. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well, roughly 32. And he had graduated from law school in Illinois,
yes,
passed the bar, and was not allowed to become a lawyer. They would not give him an actual license to practice law.
Correct.
Because they did not like his political beliefs.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have the assumption, I think it's the facts, that what the system tries to do, especially with young possible leaders coming on in any type of political activity, not just ours, they pounce on them real hard for little things. Sometimes it's even distributing literature.
Sure.
And they make it a big federal case, which should be totally free speech. And one thing seems to lead to another. They get them into court, they hammer them, and then they get them to plead guilty or whatever and get probation, and then they do something else, like maybe put out more literature, and they hit them again. And pretty soon, I think what they're doing is creating people that in some cases really go over the line and just stay the hell with it and get violent. And I think that's happened many times to young people I know, that the public doesn't realize that the system itself tends to create terrorists.
Through harassment and such?
Yes, I think any man can be driven across the line. If they've tried it with me many times. Luckily, I've been boneheaded enough not to fall into that trap. But then when they put a man that like next to Matt Hale and a very questionable morals and so forth, and pay him $50,000 to testify that Matt Hale said he wanted to kill a judge who had actually decided in his favor, it didn't make sense, that's the extent they will go to. And unfortunately in this country, as we saw in the Michael Jackson case or the OJ case, juries anymore in this country are nuts.
Oh, right, right.
I mean, it's unbelievable how these juries make these decisions. Of course, California seems to be the really worst scenario, but it's that way all over the country as far as... And I had a civil case in Portland, Oregon, and charged with... in a civil case, and the jury, they weren't smart enough to discern the facts of the case, and I lost the case. So most of these people that are involved in our kind of politics or anything else that is questionable, right, left, religious or whatever, they tend to get hammered by these juries.
Oh, sure, and the case of Matt Hale in particular, now, the fellow who, I guess, ratted him out, for lack of a better term, was named Tony Avila?
Yes.
I was always wondering if he was related to Julius Avila, but I wasn't sure.
I don't know. I never met the man. I say I met Matt Hale once at a gathering over in Indiana about 3 years ago. But this fellow wasn't with him. But I have warned people over and over again, you don't need a chief of security, because the chief of security is the one, he's going to be the informant. The police always do that. They are, or federal people, they'll volunteer to be your chief of security, and they'll probably be a good chief of security, but what you've got next to you is a government rat all the time.
And it's a tough one, yeah.
Another leader told me once, he says, you know, Tom, you know why I don't have any security men when I travel? I says, no, he said, because I'd end up having to save them. And
right.
So Tom Metzger travels around, have for 30 years or better, and I don't have a bunch of security around me or anything else, and I have not had serious problems at all.
Right, fair enough. Now, Hale got 40 years for soliciting murder.
They just wanted to take him out of action and
sure.
Out of action because he was young, he was bright. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe at all that he actually would have wanted to get involved with murdering a judge. It just didn't make sense for a young, bright person like that to go that far, and I think it was just a total setup.
Oh, I do as well, and I also believe, and I'd like to hear your comment on this, is that Matt Hill is very articulate. He's a very good-looking man, very yuppie-looking,
yes.
If you know what I mean.
Sure.
You know, played the violin, you know, classical violinist.
Yes.
Put his point across.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but we're a superficial society. He looked good in a suit and tie.
Sure.
And I think that's the biggest sort of enemy that the state would go after.
Well, if the system does not like your politics or they want to use you as a straw man, they want to go after the young people coming up. They don't really come after me much because I know how they play, and they don't get to be pretty hard for them to play the game with me. However, anybody can be set up.
Sure.
In this country, anybody that thinks that the system can't set them up is foolish. So anyhow, the only thing where I disagreed with Matt was that at one point there he put a put the address of the judge on his website. And it was encouraged people to go out there and demonstrate against her. I emailed him and told him I didn't think that was a good idea. And too many things can go wrong in that kind of a situation.
Right, but the point is, I've read a great deal about this, and there's no way he solicited anybody's murder.
No, I don't believe so either.
From the evidence I've seen. And I don't particularly agree with Matt Hale's ideas, but if they can set him up like that, they can set anyone up. They can set a left-wing, right-wing, somebody that even doesn't like politics, they can set up.
The big problem we have today is the so-called right, so-called left. The left jumping for joy if someone on the right gets it in court, and the ones on the right jumping for joy when a leftist gets it. To simplify it. And so I saw recently on Democracy Now, which I watch all the time, because we agree a hell of a lot on this George Bush and the war and all that kind of stuff. In fact, I have a lot of leftist views and listen to leftist radio more than I certainly don't listen to much right-wing radio, and I'm not a right-winger.
Right, you're not a neocon, no.
No. No, I'm the absolute antithesis to the neocon.
Right.
But you see, the point is that on Democracy Now, they had a guy by the name of Mike German, who supposedly has resigned from the FBI a few years ago, and he'd been in it, I guess, 16 years. And he's been writing articles that were in the Post and all this kind of stuff, and he's really he's pushing the envelope for lone wolves and things like that, that they're all around and they're going to get you if you don't watch out. And so I think he's being used as the propaganda man for the government to create a hysteria that I believe that George Bush needs. He's got to have an internal problem.
Enemy within.
He needs a terrorist act right now, and he's losing ground. He is backed against the wall with these documents that were released in England, and their whole Republican Party is going to lose their ass in the next election at the way it's going. So they would like nothing better than some Arab or somebody, a Muslim or something, to pull something in this country. But if they can't get that to happen, I think what they will try to do is get somebody in our camp to do something that'll give them the excuse for their homeland security type mop-up thing. And to, you know, let's face it, we've lost a lot of liberty in the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And there hasn't been any explosions around at all in this country. I mean, you know. So, anyhow, and I noticed the gal on Democracy Now, you know, just ate up every word. Well, I know this guy, Mike German. He brags about stopping a big terrorist activity in L.A. a few years ago. Well, I'm very conversant with that particular situation. Two informants, agent provocateurs, approached me 2 years before that act. They came to a meeting I had, and I don't know, you get a sixth sense about people, and I spotted right off what was going on, and they tried to talk a little heavy stuff, and they could see they were getting no place with me. Well, they disappeared, and about 2 years later, I got the word up in from L.A. that these two guys had opened up a little private gym down in, I believe it was Long Beach, California, and they were having these skinheads come in, and they were letting them train there and work out free. They were giving them steak dinners, and they were giving them beer and everything. And so I sent one of my agents down to check it out, and he said, "Tom, this is a setup." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, there's cameras all over the place, and there's probably mics all over the place, and there's something really smells here." So I put out a warning for everybody that I knew to stay away from these people because they're going to set you up. Well, a few months go by, and all of a sudden, here's this big bust in L.A. that these young guys, teenagers, I guess, are planning to blow up the AME church, a black church in South Central, and also assassinate several black leaders. And I said, "Here we go. That's it."
Right.
And so they completely set him up, and now he goes around the country claiming how he saved all these people. The public doesn't realize how much danger these people put them in, because if there was a real thing like that set up and something went wrong, you can imagine what would happen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's always a possibility one of these setups going wrong. And if they were going to blow up somebody, they probably would have blown up somebody. So it's always been my theory of law enforcement that you should talk people out of stuff, not talk them into stuff.
Well, right. Oh, there's, just as someone, I'm from a family of lawyers, and just the things that the police do to normal, everyday citizens.
Yes.
It's quite horrifying. They get them to incriminate themselves.
Yeah, and when they're approached by the police, they never say, "I have nothing to say, and I want my attorney." They talk themselves right into jail.
Concocts a story, and then they're taken away in handcuffs.
Well, anybody that sit around in a courtroom and watched how the law business works knows how the game is played, and whether they're white or black or Asian or whoever they are, if they're poor, they're all getting screwed, and even some middle class, some of them are getting screwed too. Of course, the very wealthy, most of the time, get away with it.
Right.
You know, as we can see here in California, that Blake and Jackson and people like that have the notoriety and the money and the ability to hire top lawyers can usually get away.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's unreal. There's two sets. Basically, what the police in the United States are paid to do is harass poor people.
Yes, I believe that.
And they're not racist about it. They'll harass as many different kinds of poor people as they can.
Well, today in Los Angeles, this morning, in the wee hours, 900 cops broke down doors all over Los Angeles County to bust up this ring. I think it was primarily black that they called a certain gang. And you know how many arrests they actually made? 17.
Wow, that's unreal. And they sent
900 cops. You know, that's like an army.
A cohort, as they say in the Bible.
Yeah, and a couple of weeks ago, they did the same thing here in San Diego County. A couple of hundred cops in the wee hours of the morning broke down all these doors. Now, your upper middle class and your wealthy say, oh, that's wonderful, they're fighting crime. But so many of these people are just small timers, like they don't have failure to appear or traffic tickets or you name it, you know.
Non-payment of child support.
if anybody watches the show 30 Days, which is a new show on Fox, I recommend it because this last show was a white couple actually going into a poor area and trying to exist on, I think they had $100, and then they had to get jobs, they had to rent a place, and then they had unexpected medical bills, and it was unbelievable. They said, nobody can live like this on minimum wage.
Oh, yeah, they ground right into the dirt, yeah.
I mean, they were almost able to stay even until they had a medical problem.
Something expensive came along.
And then they had bills of a couple of $1,000, so they came away with saying, people that are trying to live on this minimum wage, it just can't, there's no way, and there's no kind of life they could have.
Oh, no, just
so
go
what
to
we
work,
have
man.
Is a system that's becoming, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and something's got to have to change.
It will one way or the other, eventually.
I think it will, too.
If you alienate people like that, sure.
Yes.
And disenfranchise them.
So I am a racial separatist, but I have become far more leftist than rightist in the last few years.
Sure.
And that, I get in trouble with the right wing because a lot of the right wing call me a Bolshevik.
Right. You get called contradictory things.
And then the left wing call me a Nazi, so I don't know. You can't win.
Sure. Now, I was quite surprised. I'm in touch with some people who, like Russell Means, who's a Native American.
Yes.
Kind of separatist, and I know
right.
a lot of people from the Nation of Islam. They don't find you offensive at all, and they don't get upset with you and your work in your group one single bit.
Well, I've had contacts with a lot of these people over the years, the Muslims. I've had contacts for years, and we've scratched each other's backs a few times. Russell Means was in prison with Pastor Robert Miles, who was quite a well-known figure in the racial cause years ago, and they got along quite well. And, of course, I was a guest of the Black Panther, New Black Panther Party a few years ago, a keynote speaker for them. I've met with the Pan-African people and down in Florida, and so I've always had an open door to negotiate and talk over mutual problems with these other racial groups.
Now, it's quite really interesting in that the people who aren't in these groups are appalled and shocked when I point the fact out that you can find mutual ground and speak to each other at least, whereas, you know, the average so-called liberal or what have you will walk down Main Street USA, and they've done body language studies on this. If
yeah.
a minority person walks past a black, the white will, you know, become tense and defensive and pull
well, the
their
white,
kids.
To me, the white liberal is the most racist of all.
Really?
The white
yeah.
and the white rich. They're phony, and I'm not a segregationist. I don't want to rule over another race. I want racial separation. They run their affairs. They have their governments. They
and
have
their land and they have, yeah.
everything. So I think racial separation or tribalism is a fair way to go. But the nothing amuses me more than white liberals when it comes to race, because subconsciously they're very racist, but they want to use these people. And of course I think the blacks are very intuitive about that. They know what these white liberals are doing, and a lot of blacks come out and speak about it. Now, when I spoke before the new Black Panther Party, I said, you know, we could sit around here and yell and scream at each other about the things we disagree on, but let's talk about something we agree on. And they said, what's that? I said, I hate the government, too. And I got a standing ovation.
Mutual ground there, yeah.
Right.
Well, so you would be just basically, you want autonomous zones where people from different ethnic groups live and trade and function.
Right. I think that if it wasn't for capitalism, we would be still functioning in that manner. And maybe with an oil crash, we can go back to that type of operation.
Well, we might be headed that way one way or the other.
I think we're pretty sure to hit an oil crash in the next 10 or 12 years, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's not much left down there. There couldn't be.
Right. Well, at the rate the world population is growing and the increased rate of the use of oil by China, and of course, imagine if every Chinese person ends up with two cars in his garage. And the Anwar oil, people think that the United States is going to get that, but a congressional woman, a black woman from L.A., wanted to get a law in that all that oil had to go to the United States, and she got shouted down, and that oil is already sold to Japan and China.
It's gone already, huh? Wow.
Yeah, it's not even out of the ground. It's already sold.
Wow.
So, United Americans, I recommend you get yourself a little place, maybe a place to have a garden and a generating windmill and...
Go back to the horse.
And go and get your horse.
That may be where we're headed.
Well, it may be the salvation of mankind to go back to those
simpler things. Technology and science is what will ultimately kill us all if we're not careful. If we don't.
Well, the misuse of.
Misuse of, I should
say. Yeah, technology is absolutely wonderful, but it's misused so much.
But it's in the hands of the people who will misuse it.
Well, that's how, you know, they can make anything cost a lot of money. You know, look at Bolivia down there where I was really tickled and thrilled when the peasants all got a stick of dynamite and marched towards the Capitol and with a lighter in one hand and a stick of dynamite in the other. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah.
I loved that. I said, oh, man, that's terrific. And because, you know, the United States interests cornered the water down there in Bolivia.
Oh, people sure, yeah.
They don't even own their own water.
It's not even their own natural resource anymore.
Right. So, no, I support... Uprisings in these third world countries, and part of it's because we have put ourselves in a bad situation by shipping all of our industry out to these countries, and then it's used against us. And I have said anytime there's a revolutionary group in a country that's going to burn out these capitalist plants and force them back into the United States, it's good for the American worker. So why should I oppose these kind of groups in third world countries?
Well, when you say things like that now, Tom, people always say, why do you hate freedom? That is this new Orwellian kind of catchphrase.
Right.
Like if you say, I don't like what's going on at Gitmo, they'll say, why do you hate freedom? And, you know, someone with a little sense, they'll say, well, I like freedom. That's why I don't like what's happening at Gitmo.
Yeah.
And what they're practicing there, they'll bring up here eventually if they can get away with it.
Well, absolutely. Of course, that's why the CIA, they like to keep those captives out of the country so they can pull their fingernails out. They can't do it as easily here. But, however, there's nothing going on in these camps like that that doesn't go on in some of the prisons in this country.
Oh, sure, sure. Definitely.
I mean,
so.
The treatment of prisoners in this country is far worse than the average person thinks it is.
Overcrowding and forced labor and...
Everything.
Yeah.
There's so much, persecution, mental persecution. You know, recently, there's a young man I know that's been in prison. Well, he's not so young anymore. He's been in there 20 years, and he's always been in a federal prison far away from me, but he's now been transferred here not too far from me, and so I got on the list and went in to see him. Well, a couple of days after I came back from seeing him, all hell broke loose. The FBI came into the prison, and they just raised hell with the warden and everybody, and they sent out a deal that I couldn't get back into the prison to see this guy or anything else. So there's a lot of mind games that go on there, too, where they, I remember going to a federal prison in Phoenix a few years ago, where a woman had traveled all the way from Miami, Florida, to Phoenix to see her husband, and they wouldn't let her in because of some technicality. So this kind of stuff goes on all the time, too. And what they're doing, like most countries in most ages, they're building a type of revolutionary idea inside the prisons.
They're making their own enemies.
That's right. The big gangs in the prisons will very easily become political soldiers at some time.
Sure. And I don't think people realize how really rough these prison gangs are. You know,
Mexican
Mafia and the Aryan Brotherhood, and these people aren't playing games, you know?
Right. They don't...
It's life and death with them.
Right.
You know? And if they're treated poorly, that only gives them more reason to get mean if they get out.
Right.
You know,
that's right. In fact, well, if you treat people like beasts, then...
They're going to behave like...
They're going to behave like beasts, and I know so many people who have been put in prison, and they communicate to me what goes on in there that it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Horrendous.
Yes.
Now, what do you see as do you think there is hope for this separatism, which you espouse, which I don't particularly espouse? What do you see the future of it?
Oh, I don't see future very much at all until this system is brought down in to its knees. The timing of, I think the beast is eating its tail myself. I think that it's amazing how these empires will have a self-destruct mechanism like built into them. They always go too far. So I think that the system itself in this country is on the way out, and whether it's a decade or two decades or what, sooner or later the playing field is going to be leveled because they've imported so many different races and so many different religious factions and national factions, many of them hating each other and so forth, that the government and time will not be able to satisfy anybody. And when it gets to that point, then most of these groups are going to be against the government. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, well, if it was to be you against the government, would you make a deal with, say, the Muslims? I said, certainly. I'd shake hands with anybody against this government the way it is right now.
Oh, sure. It is pretty harsh and extreme. The Patriot Act has stripped us of our civil rights and liberties. And when it's convenient, they will come for anyone who they don't particularly like. Personally, I think President Bush, because he's in, and I wanted to ask you about this too, that weird skull and bone society at Yale University.
Yes.
Have you heard a bit about it?
Oh, yes. I know about these various groups, yeah.
What do you think of the fact in our last election, both men running for president, George Bush, John Kerry, were Skull and Bones members, and Donald Etna, who was Ralph Nader's number one lawyer, who he was going to make attorney general, was also a Skull and Bonesman?
Well, I think it's partially just a tongue-in-cheek fun thing, and partially these criminals that gather together, period. I mean, they just like a place where they can get together and have fun and conspire. Conspiracies are quite simple. It's simply based on greed and self-interest. And so I believe that anybody that gets to the that level of being in the Congress or the Senate or the President's office are such criminals already that why is anybody surprised that they would be conniving with other people who are the same way?
Kneeling before the devil when they're 21, that's their initiation ritual.
Yeah, well, of course, I don't believe in the devil, but there's a lot of that kind of stuff goes on, and there's some of the...
Well, it's scary if they believe it. That's what you got to worry about.
Well, you know what's more scary is an executive cabinet who believe that Jesus is going to come back to the Middle East and we got to have an atomic war before he'll come.
That's pretty frightening. We got to fight. We got to jump start Armageddon. Yeah.
The Christians scare me more than the Skull and Bone Society. I'll tell you that.
The evangelicals. Yeah.
Yeah. These people are boy. I'll tell you, they are scary, and because if they truly believe everything they say, we could have a nuclear war, and they'd say, oh, that's wonderful, now Jesus will come back, you know.
That's quite frightening.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine guys with their fingers on the buttons that believe that stuff? And, Rumsfeld, what was it? He put a dress on the statue because the boobs were hanging out? Well, I mean, this is insanity.
It is crazy. And I'm not crazy about the neocon born-again Christian lobby. I mean, they were even, some evangelical group was having congressmen. They were paying for their, like, room and board right near D.C. And they've really, you hear about the Jewish lobby in Washington, but this evangelical lobby is far more powerful.
Well, and like in the state, with the state of Israel, which we've always gave them way too much...
they're tied in together, sure.
...help
yeah.
and power. It's sort of like another state of the Union. These evangelicals are just total Zionists.
Sure, yep.
To that, and they... No matter what Sharon does, that's wonderful, you know. And we've let this thing get so bad that this little area of the Middle East is almost like a firing pin on a weapon. It's ready to go at any time. And mixing the oil with religion and everything, it's just driven the world insane as far as I'm concerned. In fact, you'll find more sanity in some of the third world countries about this, because I've lectured in Japan, and they think a lot differently about religion in Japan. And they look at me and say, "What's wrong with your country?"
Oh, right.
And I say, "Well, don't blame me. I'm doing my best."
Right. You give out a newspaper, too. Is that right?
Yes. It's War, W-A-R, and we publish... quarterly now. We did publish for 20 years every month, but we've gone to a quarterly now. And we lowered the price to $20. You can't get a paper for a year's subscription, almost anything for $20. And in there you'll find more serious, more in-depth articles and not so many cartoons.
Well, they're fun too. And that's resist.com?
Resist.com. They can get all the information they want on that. Yes.
Okay, we're out of time, Tom, but I'd like to thank you for being on Sphinx Radio, and I'll be happy to have you back again. I have to say this, I don't endorse everything you believe, but free speech comes first with me, and I wish you well.
I understand that. I understand that too, but you know, we shouldn't really have to say that when we do an interview or anything else, because nobody agrees with everybody all the way. In fact, I've always had the saying that if anybody who agrees with everything I say, I don't trust them.
Sure, right. Well, I said that, Tom, it was a defense mechanism as not to get a whole horde of emails.
Oh, you'll get them anyhow.
You'll get them anyway. That's okay.
Well, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having, and I'll have you back on soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.